You're listening to Sipping on Some Crime podcast, hosted by Aaron. This podcast covers sensitive and triggering subjects, explicit language, and mature content which may not be suitable for children. As always, all parties are innocent until proven guilty.
Today, I will be covering the Rachel Hurley case. Rachel Hurley was a 14-year-old student at Jupiter Middle School in Jupiter, Florida. Rachel was known as the coolest girl in school. She was part of the athletic club, was very popular with her classmates, had thick, long, beautiful brown hair, and an absolutely stunning face. Her friend Aaron said that she had a larger-than-life attitude and was so sassy. Rachel was the boss of her friend group. She was incredibly charming and quick-witted. Rachel's family absolutely loved and adored her. March 16, 1990, Rachel would spend the night at her friend Maddie's house in West Jupiter with a few other friends. They watched the movie Basket Case and spent the night just hanging out. The next day on March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, a Saturday, Rachel, Maddie, and their friend Aaron planned to meet up with two other friends and go boating for the afternoon. First, the girls stopped in at Dunkin' Donuts before being dropped off at the Jupiter loading dock. The girls arrived at Marina 6, which is now no longer there, and the group headed out to the water, even though the weather was not your typical boating weather. It was cloudy and windy. The wind was so strong it was actually whipping the sand off the beach, but the group decided to head out anyway. They planned to hydro slide all day. For those unfamiliar with this term, it's like water skiing, but you're on a board on your knees. The group had a lot of fun that day. They said that Rachel was acting herself, enjoying being the center of attention, bossing everyone around as usual, laughing and joking with the group. Around 2:45 p.m., the group returned, docking into Dubious Park, dropping off Rachel, Aaron, and Maddie. Rachel had asked the group to drop her off at the shore because she was getting a little worried about actually being on time meeting her mom at Carlin Park at 3 p.m. for the pickup like they had agreed on. Carlin Park was a little less than a mile from where the girls were dropped off. Rachel grabbed her towel and her pink hairbrush before jumping off the boat. Maddie and Aaron were right behind her. Maddie told the girls that she needed to stop and use the bathroom, but Rachel said she couldn't wait because her mom would be waiting and she would be mad if she was late. The girl said Rachel flipped her hair back and headed down the path alone. Aaron and Maddie said Rachel was a fast runner, and within seconds, she was out of sight. At 3 p.m., Rachel's mother, Andrea, became concerned not seeing Rachel at the pickup at Carlin Park. Rachel's mom started to wonder if she had mistakenly gone to the wrong pickup location or if Rachel had gotten a ride home with a friend. Andrea drove home to see if Rachel was there, but there were no signs that she had returned home. Andrea headed back to Carlin Park by 3:30, where Rachel's friends and other spectators at the park and beach that day would join together for 5 hours to search for Rachel. By 5 p.m., the Palm Beach Sheriff's Office was contacted, and they would arrive quickly to join the search for Rachel. 100 deputies, 2 boats, 1 helicopter, 8 mounted deputies, and 3 canine units joined in the search for Rachel. One of Rachel's good friends, Sherry, who was at the beach as well with other friends, says she remembers the chaos at the beach that day. At 8:15 p.m., searchers would find Rachel's partially clothed body lying in a wooded area, her clothes scattered close by. She was slightly east from the path leading from Dubious Park, headed towards Carlin Park. Investigators were able to determine that Rachel had been raped and died of asphyxiation. Rachel was covered in defensive wounds, and her friends believe she fought for her life to the very end. What investigators believe is that Rachel decided to cut through the wooded area to get away from the harsh winds and to cut some time off to get to Carlin Park in time to be picked up. Homeless were known to frequent the park and the woods, and with a tip from a high school student who claimed to be at the park that day, gave investigators a description of a possible suspect. They followed that lead, talking to over 50 homeless men in the area. This lead wouldn't go any further. In the last 31 years of this investigation, 127 men have been tested and their DNA compared to the DNA found on Rachel, but they have yet to make a match. Authorities are still counting on advancements in DNA technology and physical evidence to lead them to Rachel's killer. In 2013, Detective Springer came out of retirement to work on cold cases in their department and has been continuously working on Rachel's case since. Detective Springer meets with Rachel's family for updates, as well as her friend Sherry, quite often. This isn't a case of police department not doing their due diligence to find who killed Rachel. Every single investigator and detective assigned to this case has given it their all. Rachel was the youngest in her family. Her father was a school teacher, and Rachel's murder impacted the community in a way that forever changed their world. Rachel's family did not let the murder of their youngest daughter stop them in their tracks. They continue to live on in her memory, waiting for her justice to be served. Unfortunately, in 2019, her father did pass away without ever knowing that answer. Detective Springer is dedicated to bringing these answers to Rachel's family and getting her justice. Here's a clip of him speaking in the mini-series produced and released by Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office.
We're living. They're living. We've enjoyed things in life. She wasn't able to. And it's not fair. They need to go to jail.
I highly recommend you going and watching this mini docu-series on Rachel. It's only 15 minutes long, but it does a great overview of the case. I will add a link to the show notes and, of course, on my website, as always. Sherry was only 13 when her friend Rachel was murdered, but all these years, she's continuously been involved in the fight for her friend's justice. Sherry believes that more than one person was involved in the murder of Rachel. She also learned recently that while everyone at the beach that day was interviewed, some might have been giving different police agencies information to follow up with or to submit tips to. Sherry is begging the public that if you are willing to tell your story back then, to please come forward and tell it again, because there might be a piece of information that they're missing that you have. She just wants to keep Rachel's story out there. Rachel's family has limited involvement in the case. It seems as if they've allowed Sherry to step up and take that on in their place. In 2017, Andrea did speak at a press conference about her daughter Rachel's case. She said, quote, "Our Rachel, to her family, was a feisty, sassy, beautiful girl who made us laugh with her silly antics. She was a force to be reckoned with, a charmer, who we often said could start out with a quarter, travel the world, and return home with change. To her friends, who all lost their innocence on that day 25 years ago, she was curious, optimistic, bossy, a leader, kind and thoughtful, and just plain cool. Thank you to those friends who love her to this day, who try to make sense of this tirelessly, still try to help find the person who took her from us. I ask that anyone who might have information, no matter how small it may seem, to call the sheriff's office and help us. Thank you." Unquote. Rachel's case is still active today. Anyone with information about Rachel's case is asked to call Crime Stoppers of Palm Beach County at 1-800-458-8477 or Detective Springer at 561-688-4013. Crime Stoppers is offering a $15,000 reward for anyone with information that leads to the killer's arrest. I know this was a short episode, however, I found it so important to shine a spotlight on Rachel's case. Please share her story in any format that you're comfortable using, whether that's social media or word of mouth. Just take a moment today, this week, to tell someone about her case. It's her loved one's greatest hope that this case will be solved soon, and the best way we can help do that is to continue to share her story over and over again. As always, When you see those missing and murdered posts on social media, remember to share, like, and retweet. Every time we share a face, we get closer to solving a case. Until next time.